Hi, everyone. Before we continue thinking about prayer, can I encourage you to meet at the chapel next Sunday, the 18th of February, when the Reverend David Main will be speaking to us. Dave is our new regional minister and an excellent speaker. I don't say I haven't warned you. I don't want you to miss out. So prayer in recent weeks, we've thought about the disciples asking Jesus to teach them to pray in Luke 11. And last week, praying in colour and using marbles. There are still some Lent colouring sheets at the chapel if you'd like one. They can be used to pray simply each day during Lent by thinking of a person and colouring in a section. You may have heard of the author Anne Lamott. She discloses that the two best prayers she knows are "Help me, help me, help me," and "Thank you, thank you, thank you." We don't need eloquence to pray, we simply need to do it. We are what we repeatedly do. Our thoughts become our actions, which in turn become habits and behaviours that shape our character. In 2009, US Airways flight 1549 took off. About 2 minutes into the flight, the aeroplane flew into a flock of Canada geese. Both engines were severely damaged, and repeated attempts to restart the engines were unsuccessful. As the plane descended into a glide, Captain Chesley Sullenberger realised that he was unable to return to any airport. 3.5 minutes after colliding with the birds, he landed the plane in the Hudson River. It remained buoyant thanks in part to the fuel tanks, which were not full, and passengers and crew escaped onto the wings or inflatable rafts. No one suffered any injuries seriously. You may have seen the film Miracle on the Hudson. Captain Sully is a former military pilot with 20,000 flying hours, and he put his automatic reaction, which saved over 150 lives, down to years of training and decades of practice. We are what we repeatedly do. How do you practice prayer? Depending on your unique character, different types of prayer will resonate with you more deeply. If you're a head type, then specific linear prayers and maybe something looking at something concrete like a list or a picture might be your most natural way to pray. If you're a body type, then kneeling or using a labyrinth or candle or something tactile may be your thing. Those who are heart types prefer praying with others. Praying on your own can seem dull and unappealing. We all gravitate towards certain ways of praying, and no type is better or worse than another. Sometimes we need to lean into what suits us, and other times we need to push the boundaries a bit and loosen up our prayer muscles, refresh ourselves and grow. You may remember an article in the weekly email a few weeks ago written by Simon Matley, who told the story of a little girl who boldly suggested to the older church members that God was calling them to pray more. In this article, he cites Gilberto Cavazos Gonzalez, who identifies three postures of prayer, and it's these that I'd like us to think about today: reflection, meditation, and contemplation. Whatever your preference, we all need to use these three types of prayer lest our prayers be shallow and stunt our spiritual growth. Reflection is probably the first type of prayer we learn as children. We tell God how we're feeling, we ask for help, we ask for healing for a loved one, or tell him about a situation we're in. When we hear others praying this way, we can better understand their heart's cry. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've had a conversation with somebody, and it's not until we pray afterwards that I really understand. God loves to hear all about our lives. He already knows our hearts, but he wants us to bring them before him. So this is a great way to pray. But I wonder, have you ever been on a one-sided relationship where the other person just offloads to you? It's not really a great relationship, is it? perhaps a friend, in inverted commas, who talks non-stop at you and pours out their woes, never actually pausing to ask how you are. Relationships like that tend to fizzle out unless the person doing all the listening is exceedingly patient and actually sees the relationship more as one-sided, caring for the other person rather than mutual friendship and support. Sometimes seasons in our lives may mean one of our friends may need more support than another or than we do, but true friendships are reciprocal, each person having the opportunity to share, and that's how the relationship grows. Prayer is conversation with God. It's not simply us offloading and asking for stuff. It's reciprocal. So reflective prayers are great, but they can only get us so far. Sadly, I think some people never really move on from them. At our commitment Sunday, we thought about allowing God's Spirit to form us into Jesus' likeness. This can happen when we shut up long enough in our prayers to allow God to speak to us and share his heart for his world. And yes, that does include us. When our prayer stops focusing on us and focuses on God, we catch a glimpse of how we can become more Christ-like, and it becomes the second form of prayer Gonzalez speaks of, meditation. He writes, "This is challenging for me because, to be honest, much of my prayer consists of reflection. I may enter into meditation at times of particular sincerity, gazing into the mirror that is Christ and noticing the aspects of my life and character that need to change and align with the gospel. Still, honestly, my prayers are more reflective in nature. Meditative prayer is a good way to pray. However, I suspect many of us get stuck here and don't go any further, possibly oscillating between reflective and meditative prayer. Reflective and meditative prayer, by definition, are active types of introspection that necessitate our efforts. It is us who often sets the agenda and us who do most of the talking." I've been meditating on God recently, on who God is. And because words aren't sufficient to explain a transcendent being, there are many names and attributes for God in the Bible. I've been thinking about God as wind and water recently, and this has taken me down to the beach to experience and immerse myself. No, I didn't actually get in the water. Well done, Hannah, for doing that, but I'm not that brave. To experience and immerse myself in his presence there. It's given me a deeper understanding of his all-pervading majesty, power and love. And it's also challenged me to be more like Jesus and to know that whilst I wouldn't necessarily choose to walk in the wind and rain, I was protected by a comfy coat and hood. God is also described as clothing in the Bible. It's a lesser known description. Situations that perhaps make us uncomfortable, God allows so we can grow in understanding of him, and he always protects us in the process. We never need be afraid of allowing his Spirit to challenge us. Wow, perhaps we need a light of life outing into the sea to experience God as altar. I wonder what that would teach us. What name or attribute of God do you need to meditate on this week, I wonder? Finally, contemplative prayer, unlike reflection and meditation, is about God entering our presence when God wants it, not when we want it. It's about God speaking rather than us. Contemplative prayer necessitates being open and actively receptive. In Ephesians 6:18, Paul encouraged the Ephesians to do just this. It says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." They were not to have more prayer meetings or pray the Lord's Prayer as they walked around, but simply be open to God in all and through all. Natalie writes, "Contemplative prayer helps us to see others through the eyes of God, not simply as a potential convert, a problem to solve, or an extra person to help on our rota, but as a dearly loved and cherished companion who accompanies us when we accompany them on their journey towards Jesus. Contemplative prayer can make us feel vulnerable, as ultimately we are no longer in control. And this is a posture many of us struggle with. Nevertheless, contemplative prayer profoundly resonates with my soul. It means stepping back and seeing my community not as a problem to fix, but as a place where God already is. I suspect my meditation of God as wind and water turned into contemplation. I felt physically buffeted, but I was buffeted internally when letting go of limiting assumptions that meant I had to give up control. Brother Lawrence was a soldier in the 17th century who became a monk. His main duty was washing the pots and pans in the monastery kitchen. And in his book, The Practice of the Presence of God, he says, "The most holy and necessary practice in our spiritual life is the presence of God. That means finding constant pleasure in his divine company, speaking humbly and loving him in all seasons, at every moment, without limiting the conversation in any way." Frank Lebach, who, unlike Brother Lawrence, is our contemporary, suggests that this condition is the most normal one we can have. And he trained himself to keep God in mind moment to moment, whatever he was doing. It was a conscious decision and it wasn't easy, but it changed his life immeasurably. If you want to know more about him, I have a copy of his book, Letters by a Modern Mystic. So there we go. Reflection, meditation, and contemplation. What area of prayer do you gravitate towards? What area of prayer would you like to develop? There's no time like the present.